Today on Real Life Radio.
You can't have this stuff in the world and have a straw man of communication. It's all fake. Put your face in the book, chat with God, and let him come into your space. It's all about communication.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, did you know that Pastor Jack has a weekly devotional? And it's sure to help you in your walk with God. Join the thousands of Real Life Radio listeners who've been blessed by Pastor Jack's devotional. Get it at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Are You Willing to Receive Your Sight? This Gospel of Luke series is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as really only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 18, we'll consider how all things come down to communication. You see, when Jesus spoke, he spoke into the hearts and minds of everyone who was willing to listen. People are craving to have someone understand them. It's really why communication through social media is really a big deal today. It seems the cyber world really skews reality, while face-to-face relationships seem to be dying off. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that many of us are blind to the things of the Spirit. But if we're willing to receive our sight, then we just have to open our hearts and minds and allow the Lord to speak to us. Now, with his message called, Are You Willing to Receive Your Sight? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Don't you love the gospel? Don't you love our God? There's no secret handshake group. There's no secret club. There's no elite group of Christian commandos. The Bible says that the Lord esteems everyone the same. And if you view yourself as I view myself, that when I hear that he views all of us the same, I get excited, because if I get to be elevated up to where you're at, I'm very happy to be with you. He loves us. And when he speaks clearly. No sleight of hand, no tricks. Communication, people say, is a big deal. It's a big thing. We do premarital counseling here at the church, and we go through a lot of stuff. Premarital counseling, we don't marry anybody without it. We're pretty strict about it, because we get to ask a lot of fun questions, like things that they never think about. Because, you know, they're so starstruck in love with each other. It's hilarious to see two people in love. They come into the office, they sit down. It's a whole huge 8-foot couch, but when they come and sit down, it's like they're sitting right on the top of each other. And when she talks, he goes like this, and he's looking at her. He's watching her lips move. He's watching her eyes. You see his chest go up a little bit. And then he starts talking, and she just looks, and she's looking, and she's looking at his hands. And pretty amazing. Pretty amazing stuff. And we'll ask them questions like, where are you going to spend your first Christmas? Her parents or your parents? What? It's great. They go, what? They think like, that's an important question? Oh, yeah. And this is a great one. How many kids are you going to have? What? One? Five? 10? How many kids are you going to have? You ask them these questions. And it always comes down to, you're always evaluating their ability to communicate to one another. I always ask, I don't know if this is cool or not, but I always ask, have you had a real good argument yet? Because you can tell a lot from an argument. All the stuff comes to the top in an argument. And so I'll ask them, you know, who listens and who gets upset? Who slams the door? Who just sits there and cries? Or who's quiet for a week after the argument? All that kind of, what's it? Let's talk about your arguments. Why? Because communication's amazing. When Jesus says stuff, it's right there. You deal with it. It's clear. It's right there. You deal with it. And people want to communicate. When you are talking about a marital situation or a relationship with somebody, it always comes down to communication. Well, did you talk about it? It's important. Have you noticed today, listen, I believe people want to communicate more than ever before. You say, Jack, I don't know about that. Oh, no, I'll prove it. I'll prove it. Why have we settled for this type of communication? Are we not a generation of texters? Hey, what do you want to eat? Text me, email me, Facebook. People talking with other people, stuff on Facebook that their husbands and wives don't even know about what they're talking about. All this communication going on the surface, right? A lot of it. But how serious are we about really communicating? And so, I don't know, this is just my corny way of thinking, but take your face and put it in the book. Facebook. Facebook. Do that. Why? It's all about communication. All about communication, because you can't have this stuff in the world and have a straw man of communication. It's all fake. Put your face in the book, chat with God, and let him come into your space. It's all about communication. Why is that important? Because look with me, chapter 18, verse 31. It just blows my mind. It's incredible. Verse 31, then he, Jesus, took the 12, that's the disciples, aside and said to them, okay, briefing, off to the side, huddle. He calls them over from a huge crowd of people. And he says to them, behold, the word means look, open your eyes. We are going up to Jerusalem and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. That's why the title of this message is, are you willing to receive your sight? Because you can have eyeballs that really don't work. You can have 20/20 vision in the visual spectrum of this world and be completely blind to the frequency regarding the things of God. Jesus pulls the disciples over. Mark it. It's amazing. They're down in the Jordan River Valley and Jesus is heading to Jerusalem for the very last time. He's got an appointment. He's heading to his death. And from the, listen, Jordan River Valley, you ascend up on the Jericho Road. You've all heard that before. He's going to be heading up in that direction, leaving Jericho. The Jordan River is behind him. Now he begins to leave Jericho. He ascends up, and the peak of the mountains of the Judea area, that when he gets to the top, he's going to get to Jerusalem. And then downhill from there, you keep going downhill, and you go right straight today through Tel Aviv and into the beautiful blue Mediterranean. So Jesus is heading west. The Jordan River is behind him. Mark it in your mind. From that eastern route coming out of the Far East, there is a flood of people heading to Jerusalem for Passover. Hundreds of thousands of people from the north out of Turkey and Eastern Europe. They're coming down through the area of Lebanon today and they're heading south to Jerusalem because Passover's coming. And then there's another incredible amount of people coming up out of North Africa from Egypt, heading north, and they're going to go along the Via Maris, the way of the sea, heading to Jerusalem, until Jerusalem is swollen with about 3 million worshipers during Passover every year in the time of Christ. And so Jesus pulls the disciples over and he gives them a little briefing and he says, listen up. Look, that's what the word behold is. Look. And the look means think. You guys all know this. He's not saying look with your eyes. Look, open your heart and look at this. I'm going to Jerusalem. Everything written in the prophets is about to be fulfilled regarding the cross and all of that. It's an amazing thing. So mark it down if you would. Verse 31, it's a simple point and we'll move on to other things. That are you willing to receive your sight this morning? Then open up your mind. Because what God invites you to do is use your brain about being a believer. Because God wants to speak to you. Jesus pulls them off to the side to speak to them. Why? Because he's faithful. He's wonderful. He wants them to know. Isn't he the shepherd? He's the great shepherd. Jeremiah 3:15 says, I will give you shepherds. That's under shepherds. Pastors is the word that we use in the English. I will give you pastors according to my heart, God says, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's the job of a pastor, to feed the church with knowledge and understanding of God's word. Jesus is the ultimate pastor, and he's telling his disciples, this is what's coming up. That's good. Amos chapter 3, verse 7 says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. God wants to speak to his people. You want to have the communication with God. That's vital. Secondly, we want to open up our minds and think about this challenge that he's laying before us, because he says, behold, that all things that are written in the prophets concerning the Son of Man, that's a title of himself. Jesus is lifting that title, by the way, from two very key prophetic books of the Bible. The Son of Man, Jesus is lifting that from the book of Ezekiel and the book of Daniel. And every Jew in the audience understood what Jesus meant. Wow, he's equated himself as the Son of Man. That is the Messiah. And Jesus said, what's written in the word is going to be accomplished. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, listen to this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That is, the Bible says of itself, it is without error, and it is absolutely applicable to your life right now, today. Today. The Bible also says Jesus, in his declaration, confirms what Hosea said. Hosea 12:10 says, I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions, and I have given symbols through the witness of the prophets. Jesus Christ is standing there, and he's explaining to his disciples once again, I am going to have the prophecies of the scripture fulfilled in my life. You'll see it happen. And that's a very encouraging thing. And then also this, before we move off of this introductory point, is that we want to open up our minds because we want to be encouraged. God wants to encourage us. Jesus says, listen, church, be encouraged. It's all about concerning the Son of Man, and that it will be accomplished. God's word. I love that. God cannot lie, says the Bible. God says, I esteem my word higher than my own name. The Bible says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. I have two really cool things here. First of all, when the word says sharper than any two-edged sword, a double-edged sword is an interesting thing. This is an equivalent to what is the Greek makaira. In Roman combat, in first century Rome, the soldier, the Roman centurion, would have a makaira. And what he would do is that he would have this strapped on his body. He would never pull it out unless he was going to kill somebody. You never pulled it out unless you were in close combat. Watch this. When the Bible says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God. It uses the word makaira. You are to use the makaira in your life, the exact word of God, for the specific purpose in your life. For example, if you're being tempted with lust, it is fruitless, powerless for you to quote Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. Are you with me? If you're being tempted with anger, you don't quote Genesis 1:1. You quote the verse that applies to your issue. That's using the word of God rightly, the makaira. Okay, you with me? The word of God also tells us regarding Jesus Christ that he is the word, and this is a Roman broadsword. Isn't it amazing? This is a heavy piece of material here. And if you saw Russell Crowe coming at you from a distance, if you were in war, he would be swinging this thing, and he would almost look like a blender coming at you. And there's a way that they had this thing to be swung in such a way that if you were approaching a Roman soldier, you would be terrified, because the way that they did it was that they utilized both sides of this double-edged sword. Very, very important, very powerful picture of the Word of God.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
The Bible says that Jesus Christ himself is the Word of God. I say that to encourage you, because here is the Word of God standing in the flesh, speaking to his disciples, saying the very Word of God will be completely fulfilled regarding the word of God, the bread of life that has come into the world. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, do not think that I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. I've come to fulfill. The Bible is written all about Jesus. Isaiah 55, 8 through 11 tells us that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, that his thoughts are beyond our thoughts, and that God's ways are not our ways, but his ways are past finding out. And he goes on to say there that as he causes the rain and the snow to fall from the heavens and to blanket the earth with moisture so that the ground breaks forth into budding and blossoming of flowers. Have you seen the hills? Have you driven from Chino Hills to Diamond Bar and you go through that incredible little piece of paradise? You see the lupins, you know, the purple lupins sprouting? You see the orange wild California poppies? But you know what God does? God causes rain to come down. He blankets the earth with green, beautiful, velvety grass, and then he takes purple and orange and he sprinkles it over the hills, and you drive by and you go, ooh. Only God can mix those colors together right. If I did it, it would look horrible. And then he says, I have sent my word out and it will perform exactly that thing for which I have sent it. And it will never return to me void, God's word. It's so fun being able to proclaim God's word because the power is not in any of us. The power is not being an evangelist or a pastor. The evangelist or the pastor or the Christian should know where the power lies. And that is the Holy Spirit who uses the word of God. Amen. That's the issue. And Jesus is giving them the word. Here's the bummer. They don't want to hear it. And you say, well, Pastor, those disciples, they were really something, those bad guys. Hey, listen, you and I are just like that. God will show us and tell us something and we'll start whistling and look the other way like we didn't hear him. Oh, I really want that thing. God, do you want me to have this thing? Okay, he does. He wants me to have this thing. And you don't have any peace about it. And you didn't get a yes from God about it. And then you get the thing. And then it really winds up making you sick. And you're all upset about it. And then you wish you didn't have it. All because, listen, we don't want to hear what he might say. Well, listen, it is absolutely vitally important that we understand that God's word is given to encourage us even when we don't understand it. Keep that in mind. It will be accomplished, what God has written. Point number two this morning is verses 32 to 34. We want to open up, listen, not only our minds, but this is vital. You can't do one without the other. Open up your mind, my friend. If you're a doubter, if you're a skeptic, open up your mind to what God says. Number two, open up your heart. You can't really be a real, true, blue, living human being without opening up your mind, that is using your mind and your heart. God will put those two things together. By honestly looking at the evidence, verse 32 is absolutely one of the most amazing verses in the Bible, and here's the reason why. Verse 32, Jesus speaks and he says, mark it down, take notes. He says, for, the word means because, the word of God's gonna be accomplished, verse 31, because, verse 32, here it is, mark it. Number one, he will be delivered to the Gentiles. Church, did that happen? Not only is it recorded in the Bible, it's recorded in Roman history. It's recorded by unbelieving historians. Jesus Christ was delivered into the hands of the Roman powers. The cool thing is, Jesus is telling the disciples before it happens. Number two, he will be mocked. Was he not mocked? The Bible says that he would be insulted. Next one, number three, insulted. Made fun of, ridicule. If you're the king, come down from the cross. Remember they made fun of him? Did that happen? Yes. Number four, spit upon. They spit on him. And the Roman centurions and the religious rabbis and scholars walked by and the Bible says they spit on him. It was a horrible scene. And then look at number five, found in verse 33. And they will scourge him. Notice Jesus is speaking, by the way, in the third person. He says they will scourge him. You want to know why? In theological terms, you know why he's doing that? The Holy Spirit is speaking through him a prophetic word. The Holy Spirit's speaking. They're going to scourge him. The cat of nine tails, the Roman cat of nine tails, it's a stick with a ball on the end with nine leather whips, and the nine leather whips are about 18 to 24 inches long, embedded with fishbone, glass, and rock. Nine of them. So when you get hit once, you're getting hit nine times. Eyewitness accounts have recorded when men were beaten with the cat of nine tails, it filleted their back open, and Josephus writes that many victims, you could see their lungs still breathing and operating while they're being whipped, as it would rip flesh out of their back. Jesus would be beaten. Not only that, Isaiah chapter 50 prophesied that concerning the Messiah, that they would take his beard and pluck it out. You can read more about that in great detail, the prophetic suffering of Christ in Isaiah chapter 50 and 53. The Bible there lays out in extreme detail about the suffering that the Messiah would go through. Listen, look at the evidence. Use your heart and mind. Look at the evidence concerning Jesus. Understand this. God help us in this world that we're in right now, because you know what? The biggest black eye that the church has been delivered by itself by Christians. Christians who fail to appreciate what Jesus has done. Christians who flirt and date and goof around with sin like it's nothing. Amen. And then they say, oh, God's going to forgive me. Be careful about that. Are you really a believer? Because listen, are you really struggling with things in your life? Now, don't get me wrong. All of us struggle with things in our lives. But the truth of the matter is, are the things that are tempting you, are they so minuscule and weak, but you yield to them? Listen, I have a wonderful bit of news to you, for you, for us. Love Jesus more than that ridiculous sin. Love him more. You won't have to worry about, oh no, and what about this, and oh my goodness. Listen, put your face in the book. And know how much he loves you. And then when Bubbles comes tripping along and flirts with you, you can just go, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Bubbles or eternal life through Jesus Christ? Bubbles or life in God? You have to think about that one? Love him more. And how do you love him more? By seeing what he has worked for you. Isaiah 52 and 53. The work he has worked for you has been an amazing thing. Salvation through Christ. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. He gives it, but you got to receive it. Open up your eyes and receive what he has. And it's beautiful, by the way. Keep looking at this. They will kill him, but Jesus never mentioned this scenario nor the Holy Spirit without saying, but on the third day, he'll be risen from the dead. Isn't that great news? The question is, did the disciples hear that? Well, look at verse 34. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Honestly, we need to draw a conclusion. Look at the evidence and draw a conclusion. Check it out. The disciples, they didn't understand. Now watch it carefully. They didn't understand, and the things were hidden from them. Read your Bible carefully. You would think by reading it in the English that it means they couldn't understand. It was like a mystery. Oh no, the exact opposite. The truth is that they would not receive it. He wanted them to know what was coming up. They didn't want to hear it. We battle that in our lives, huh? When you come home and you say, I got good news, I got bad news. First of all, you're, oh no. Right? Some of us who are weirdos like me, I always want to have the bad news first. Give me the bad news. And by the way, I know when people always come to me and tell me good news, something's wrong. Life ain't full of good news. Life has some good news in it. But there's bad news too, you know? Have you ever asked somebody, how you doing? Fine. And you ask them that for about, I don't know, 5, 10 years. It's always good. They may be nice to you, but they're not being honest with you. Jesus tells the disciples, I have a date in Jerusalem with the cross. And they willingly will not hear it, and they will not receive it. Church, before we press on, do they have eyes? Yeah. But can they see? They look around at all the stuff that's in front of them, and Jesus speaks the words to unlock their heart, to engage their mind, to bring them to a point, and they miss it. And this is a danger for all of us. Very, very important.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called, Are You Willing to Receive Your Sight? We're glad you're here today. And by the way, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So many people have stopped going to church. They've given up on fellowshipping together. Maybe it's been pain. Maybe fear has gotten the best of you. Maybe it's been, I don't know what. But I want to challenge you. Now's the time to come back home. Hey friends, Pastor Jack Hibbs here, and I want to invite you to Just Church. Let's have an evening of worship, the Word of God, and to make a radical recommitment to Christ.
That's Friday night, September 8th at the Honda Center for Just Church. For more info, go to JustChurchSoCal.com. That's JustChurchSoCal.com. Haven't we all heard the phrase, slow and steady wins the race? But could that also be true when it comes to daily living? In Praise of Plodders by Warren Wiersbe is our current featured resource, and it's not only thought-provoking, it celebrates the value of careful planning. Wiersbe says that plotting and intentional decision-making are crucial for achieving meaningful outcomes. In Praise of Plodders by Warren Wiersbe is yours today for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.